Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Well, let's just see. Wherever gravy can come out of, I'll suck it out.
Okay. Okay. He is sucking out the gravy.
Of any hole.
Of any orifice.
Of any orifice. Of any,
I love that.
Yeah. Let's normalize
gravy play and let me tell you.
Gravy play. Gravy, play with me.
The gravy is going to, this is what we need. I think we need across America for everyone to just incorporate gravy into their routines. Yes.
Hello everybody. Welcome to Tea Time with the gravy boat, me, Delroy. That's right, we are here today. We are going to be interviewing somebody amazing. Somebody so beautiful and loves gravy. Ooh, she loves the gravy.
She sure does.
Oh, you know you love the gravy, boo-boo.
Do you love the gravy as much as Delroy?
I think I like the gravy more than Delroy.
I don't know. I don't know if it's true. But we have Luscious Massacre on the show today.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to
Happy
be here.
Happy Halloween, everybody, number one.
The Halloween dolls.
Yes, the Halloween dolls.
The Halloween dolls.
You came here today to talk to me.
Yes.
And my gravy boat.
The gravy girls, yes.
Did you just say the G-word? The first thing I want to say is, we all share something in common.
No.
Yes. For different reasons.
What did we do?
We share an Emmy.
Oh, okay.
Now, my question is
this. It's a nice thing to share.
Yes. Yeah. Where do you put your Emmy?
Oh, my God. So I actually just migrated my Emmy because I just moved to Los Angeles.
Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm a Texas girl. So in Brownsville, I had it right dead center in the living room.
Nice. Yes, yes.
Because I like to, like, inspire. You know, where I come from, we don't be winning Emmys down there.
Yeah.
And I loved having it in the middle of the living room because, like, I wanted my family to see it, my brothers, mm-hmm. my siblings to see it, and to get inspired. Anyone who ever came over, like my tías, my primas, to be like, look, we can do that too.
I love a communal Emmy.
Yeah. It's a commute. Just like me, I'm a communal. I help the community.
Yes.
I do it with the Emmy too.
I love that because a lot of times you hear people say like, oh, you know, I'm going to put it in the bathroom or I'm going to give it to someone. They don't want to display. And
I kind of do live for the like fantastical delusional girls who are like, I have 10 Oscars.
Right.
I'm not bothered. Where do you put your Emmy?
We have 2 Emmys.
Okay.
One per.
One for me.
One for the gravy boat.
Okay.
And then one for me.
Okay.
No. And we put our Emmys right where we can see them every time when we watching television.
Okay.
Because we aspire.
Yeah. That's right.
We aspire for more gravy and more awards.
So you like to inspire yourself.
Every day.
You are the blueprint.
For myself.
Yes.
And my gravy boat.
I love that. You know, I inspire myself too sometimes. Like, I reference my, like, I'm like, I did this a while back, but let me channel that energy again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's narcissism.
At to its the finest. Fullest.
But, you know, to be, like, when you are an artist, you have to be a little bit of a narcissist.
I do believe so.
You have to have narcissistic tendencies.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh, ooh. You
now,
see?
Now, gravy boat done.
You see? The,
girl,
the,
if you don't
I
put
know
that
the
right
ego
back.
Inside of you is upset
yes.
that it just fell down and it ruined the shot
yes.
and they played games with you.
And it's okay because gravy is slippery. And there you go.
What's wrong with gravy?
No!
Yeah.
Speaking of narcissism.
Yes.
What other mental health disorders do you have?
Please. Oh, my God. I think I dabble in a little bit of everyone.
Gravy interrupts.
All of them.
What, y'all don't like gravy?
No!
But I'm really good at controlling them.
Mm.
It's when you're not present and you lose control that you're your illnesses get a hold of you mm-hmm. and they grab onto you. You have to identify your illnesses. If you are a narcissist, sweetie, tell yourself the truth.
Yeah.
But only when you know the truth can you identify the demon, and then you can have a dance with it and control it.
It's so...
But if you don't even know
yeah.
that, like I'll use for me, for example, I'm a big girl. Obesity is a demon that I deal with.
Every day for me.
Let me tell you, and y'all can't even, y'all don't know if y'all can see it, but the demon is right here on my back. Talking about Halloween and scary times and spooky.
Yeah.
The obesity demon is right here. It's holding on to me. Mm-hmm. And it's always trying to get me, trying to battle with me, but I see it.
Yes.
So I'm constantly doing the back and forth with like, bitch, you're not going to get me.
So like a number 7 at In-N-Out?
Oh, or that's like... the demon wants me to get a number 7 and...
Oh,
they want me to add like the little churros, a little dessert. You know, the drink could be a medium, but then the obesity demon is like, get the large.
Yes.
You need more.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the obesity, when you're easy ice, because then if not, they only give you like a little bit of soda.
I never get ice.
Oh.
You never do ice?
I never do ice.
Don't do that.
I never do ice. You always get it empty ice because you go home and you save the drink for later.
Okay. So the obesity demon is even stronger within you because mine tells me just a little bit of ice so I can get more drink. No ice so she can get the most.
Yeah.
Drink.
I mean, we understand that with Delroy, the addiction, the food is addiction real. Is so real. The obsession with gravy. I mean, think about the fixation that he has with me. Gravy is unbelievable.
That boat right there, child, that boat was in our family for generations. Through the good times.
Uh-huh.
To the bad times.
Well.
From the heartache. Ah. Put us up. See, the point is, that boat was always here.
Not ain't.
But I hear what you're saying, Luscious, yeah. And I think that you're actually totally correct that the first step is being aware. And once you have awareness,
once you have awareness,
separate yourself from the thing.
You can have a dance with it and control it. Because if you're not present, it'll control you.
100%.
Honey, listen, there are girls out there, the obesity demon, they don't even know.
Exactly.
They're just living their life. They don't even know that the obesity's got you, sweetie. And if you're not careful, the obesity will get you.
Yeah.
And so would the beaties.
Oh, baby, the obesity, she will give you the beaties.
Yes. Yeah. The
baby, beaties. And let me tell you, if you're not paying attention and you're not aware that the obesity demon got you, the beaties, she'll take you out.
Yeah.
The pressure. Yeah. The pressure.
Let me tell you, shout out to the obesity dolls and the diabetes girls. Take your juice and take your pill. And if you're pushing the pen, take your pen hit.
Yeah, take
your
shot.
Do what you gotta do, baby. Do what you gotta do.
Take your shot. Do what you gotta do.
You know what I do? I put gravy in an IV. And I put it on my skull. And I let it drip down.
Okay. She goes hand on the gravy.
So, Delroy, what is the love for gravy?
Here's the deal. There was once a time when everybody put gravy on everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You put gravy on the turkey. On the dressing.
Right.
On the greens.
Right.
On the biscuits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then one day... my gravy bowl was gone.
Okay, so, but tell me this. What is your favorite fast food gravy?
Ooh.
Like favorite fast food, Luscious.
Please let me know this.
My favorite fast food gravy.
Oh, this one is activated.
It's Jollibee.
Oh, the Jollibee got gravy?
Girl.
I've never even been to Jollibee.
Do I need to go? Oh, don't go.
Do I need to go to the Jolly?
Oh, God, don't go.
Because you know I'm already a Jolly girl.
The Jollibee gravy is crazy.
Listen, I'm a Texas girl. Have you ever been to Whataburger?
Yes.
The gravy from the Whataburger, girl. It will let you... let me tell you, the obesity... this is why I say the obesity, I dance with it. Because I can't renounce all the good things.
Right.
Because, you know, the pleasures of life is food. Let's keep it real.
We were talking about Whataburger. Can we just have a section of just Whataburger? Just put it up, Whataburger.
Yes.
What's your combo? I want the girls to know what's your combo with the
Whataburger.
I just want
a cheese Whataburger.
Oh.
I said like a cheeseburger.
Okay.
And I need extra fries.
Okay.
I don't get the gravy. I didn't know they had gravy.
Girl, it's the best. It's got like chunks of meat in it. They put like little chunks sausage in it. Oh, it's so good, girl. You gotta go.
Is it brown or is it white?
No, it's white.
Oh, you got the country white, sausage gravy.
Yeah, it's almost like the... yes. And they put the meat, they
It's ground
it's
pork.
It's like a dust.
Yes, it's
ooh, it lets you go in.
That right there, you can slide that on top of me and then slip and slide all day for me.
We have to fly some in for this woman, this Whataburger, this gravy.
I never
honey.
Knew that being gravy would validate so many of my desires to be praised and loved and seen and my whiteness to be approved and welcomed.
The Caucasian in the gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
You see
I
it?
See the representation.
I'm right now I'm being white gravy.
Hilarious.
With brown hair.
So I have a question for you, Luscious.
Yes.
If you were to choose between AT&T, T-Mobile.
Okay.
Or, you know, Jitterbug.
Right.
Which one would you choose knowing that you fired your manager from T-Mobile?
Oh, well, it's actually... Okay, I was about to say, I used to work at T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. I got my manager fired.
Why?
Because he was playing games with me. He was like... You know, that he was accusing me of, like, you're not doing your job. You're not hitting your metrics. You're not... You know the girls. They mm-hmm. pressure you about the quotas.
Yeah.
And I was under so much stress at the time. Like, just, you know, trying to live my life. But then he was committing fraud. He was selling phones on the side.
No!
And he was, like, fixing phones on the side. Like, the customers would come in and he would be like, oh, I see your screen is broken. I got a little side hustle. I can get it. I can, you know what? If you go through T-Mobile, they're going to charge you $100. If you do it through me, $20. I'll fix your screen. So to me, it was like, wait a minute, bitch. You're going to come over here. Try to comfort me. Tell me I'm not meeting my metrics. Telling me I'm taking naps over here. Telling me I'm flirting with the customers and pulling trade on the side.
Were you?
Absolutely.
Okay, keep going.
Well, it was sales.
Period.
You have to.
When you're doing sales, you got to seduce.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I have pulled so much trade, and they also bought a phone. And they bought the phone case. They bought the speaker. I made them sure they bought everything. So then he's over here telling me, you're not doing enough. You're lazy. You're tired. Mm-hmm. I'm over this. Mm-mm. And I said, well, wait a minute, baby. I got you. I called HR. Mm. I was that girl. Mm, at the time, I was like just so... You know how sometimes you're just over it and you're like, I'm going to get revenge.
Yes.
You're not going to do this to me. How dare you try to get me?
I do it all the time.
I went in there. I got revenge. I got him fired.
Oh.
I called HR. I said, baby, this man is committing fraud. He's a con artist. He got fired, but then I regretted it.
Why?
Because like 2 weeks later, I saw him at the mall with his wife and all his kids.
About 17?
Oh. Girl, he had like 6 kids and I was like, damn.
Don't
That's
worry.
Why he was doing it.
Yeah, exactly. He went over to Verizon.
Baby,
he's
let
fine.
Me tell you, I ruined the man's career, but you know what?
No, he's at AT&T. He's good.
He'll be fine.
Yeah,
because he was a hustler.
Exactly.
He was a conner. He did whatever he had to do. I'm pretty sure now he's probably working as CEO at AT&T now.
Period.
There you go.
He's getting his life. Wherever you are, baby, I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Here's a little violin for you, bro.
But lesson learned.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn, baby.
You got to learn.
People will learn the lessons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to know more about your life when you were little. And what is your family life like?
Oh, it's actually like I really, as I was driving here, I wanted to have this moment.
Oh.
When I was like 13,
mm-hmm.
my parents separated and they divorced. So my mom, so I live in the border, right? So my mom, we stayed in the United States, in Texas. My dad, he went back home to Mexico. So it was really like interesting, the dynamic of like my parents divorced and separated. And so during the week, I would be in Texas. And then on the weekends, I would go to Mexico to my dad's.
Wow. We were in El Paso.
I lived in Brownsville, Texas.
Okay.
So if you jump over from Brownsville, you go to Matamoros. That's it's a border town in the north of Mexico.
Matamoros.
And so then my dad... He knew, he was like, these kids are so accustomed to, like, they would watch TV from the U.S.
Mm.
We would watch all the television shows in the U.S. So my dad, he, like, rigged it up and, like, got, like, illegal cable so we could see the American shows.
Nice.
And as my, now, reflecting, now that I'm older, looking back, I was so in shock that my life was, like, being blown apart. My mom is... Their divorce was messy. You know how it gets.
It's hard.
So my mom is in the U.S. My dad's in Mexico. I'm traveling back and forth. And my only source of, like, that kept me present and, like, protected my innocence was when I would go home at my mom's or at my dad's, I would watch That's So Raven. And, like, it just gave me so much joy.
Mm.
And, like... I just remember, like, Raven Baxter, like, she held my hand through it all.
That's my niece.
And let me tell you, I as artists, sometimes as creators, we don't even, like, we put so much work into what we do, And we never get to see, like, how it impacts people, how it touches them, the love it gives them, how it, like, gets them through a tough time. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. Because I know that at the time, you didn't even realize that you were out there. Like, I can't imagine how many kids, you know, that show got them through. And it just made them feel joy and happiness and love. And it would distract them from, like, the bombs going around them. And, you know, it's just, it was really, really beautiful. And I just always remember, like, me being in Mexico watching That's So Raven at my dad's house. It was the best.
Well, you know, that's my niece. And Raven Baxter, she is a crazy little girl. She, for some reason, stares out into the ocean and just comes up with things and then comes to my farm all dressed like a cow. She really does not know when to stop. So I'm glad you enjoyed her. Me, however, that girl's a little something. I don't know how I felt about her.
But paid your price with that little girl.
Nah, that little girl is a mess.
Didn't that little girl bring our family back together, though? Because she helped with the gravy boat situation.
Well, yeah, she might have brought my gravy boat back, but it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So let's just...
You owe her a thank you.
I don't know. I'm not ready to give back thanks to Raven Baxter. I hear that you watched a lot of television.
Oh, my God, so much.
And I hear that you had a little bit of a turmoilish, tumultuous to family style.
Yes, yes.
When you knew who you were, meaning your sexuality. And the Jessica Simpson.
You know what it is?
You better answer it.
It's my blood pressure medication.
Oh, really?
She comes on, she reminds me, baby, take your pill, because if not, they'll get you together.
Do you need to take it?
I'll take it later. I'll be fine.
Will you remember?
My heart, she can hold on.
Okay.
She will hold on.
She can hold
on. So you are at home right now. You're watching television.
Yes.
Your parents are separated.
Yes.
When did you realize who you were authentically, and was it a challenge? Because I'm going to add on to it, right?
Yes.
And forgive me if it's a little controversial.
No, give it to me direct.
But what I love about the Latin community,
yes,
is that the lesbians and the gays are accepted a little bit more freely,
yes,
than other cultures.
Yes.
Do you find that to be true? And were you accepted by your family?
You know what? It's interesting you said that, because within, like, the Mexicano community where I come from, I do remember, like, the lesbian girls, they would get it a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. Like, you know, if the girl, she was a little lesbian and maybe she was, like, she was accessing the masculine realm, mm-hmm, I feel like they would respect it a little more. They would kind of, like, you know, because it's a girl. The Mexicanos, the community, the men are very machista. So
no.
They're all like, they go in on them. Like, a man needs to be a certain way.
Right.
And if you're not a man the way we want you to be a man, we're going to go in on you. But with the girls, sometimes it would be a little softer. Mm-hmm. And they would maybe, like, ignore it a little more and kind of, you know. And that, I hope, made it easier for them. For the lesbian girls. Shout out to the lesbian dolls out there, honey.
What up, lesbians?
Yeah, but with me, no. With me, I remember I was probably like around 5 or 6, and I remember being just aware of, like, oh my God, I'm very feminine. And I am not the same as my cousins and my siblings, my brothers. And so I would get it from every direction, where my parents would kind of ignore it. My brothers and my cousins, the culture, they would bully you. I would get bullied the house down. They would call me maricón, joto, like my brothers. Like, they would go in on me for me just being naturally having that access to the feminine realm. There was nothing I could do about it. I was just born with the key card to the feminine realm. There was no way I could denounce it as much as I tried. Because trust me, I tried. When I was like 21 or 22, when I met the first drag queen I ever met, I remember she was like, tú eres jotilla, which meaning, like, she knew. She's like, you're a homosexual, honey. Don't play games with me. And me just like this. And I was like, what do you mean?
No,
I'm straight.
Not.
I'm straight. What are you talking about, sweetie? I'm straight. Like, me in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, out of self-protection, out of self-defense.
Of course.
I had created this. That was my automatic answer. But everyone around me was like, bitch, who you lying to?
Right.
Who you over here playing these games with? You are a homosexual. You're a sissy. I couldn't see it. I was so trying to, like, I can't have them find out.
Of course,
because if they find out, they're going to get me. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt growing up. I was like, I have to hold on to this secret. if I can, I have to take it to my grave because I cannot allow them to discover me. That's how I felt. You know, newsflash, honey, I came out and look at me now. Now I can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Now I can't be contained.
Can't not discover you, exactly.
Right. Now I want everyone to discover me. And I think that's one of my, like, as an artist, sometimes I sit and I'm like, okay, what is my trauma? Mm. And I'm like, my trauma is when I was a kid, I was not seen. I was not loved. I was not told that I was special or beautiful. Nobody really cared. And so as I grew up, I have this chip on my shoulder where now I'm like, bitch, now you're going to see me.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to make you see me. Now I'm going to make you love me. Now I'm going to make you respect me, bitch. But it's a trauma.
It's a total trauma. And I relate to some of that trauma because I feel like I had elements of that in my upbringing. And it's really interesting how it manifests in certain ways as you become an adult. And then what you kind of where you take that and what you want to do with it to try and heal yourself. And it does kind of land you in a place of really fighting to feel like you need to be seen and wanting to be respected. It's hard. And I also realize that, you know, there are the actions of you saying no one really cared. You know, there are actions where we see our parents say, like, I love you and you're beautiful. Right. And that feels like care. But then there are also kind of these smaller, more subconscious things where I personally experience things like if I wanted to start a sport, let's say I was like, I want to play soccer. Right. My parents were like, OK, here you go. Play soccer. But let's say I go to 3 practices and I'm over it. I don't want to do it anymore. Piano, same thing. I don't want to do it anymore. OK, you don't have to do it anymore. What messaging your child actually learns in that, okay, you don't have to do anymore, is you're not worth it. You're not worth the fight. If you're not teaching your child how to...
I don't see it for you. I don't actually believe in
exactly.
you.
Exactly. You're not showing me that I'm worth staying consistent in my commitment, seeing something through. And that's a different and deeper way. That's a different and more subconscious way of, I think, of absorbing the messaging of I'm not worth the fight or I'm not worth attention or I'm not being seen. And I don't think people talk about that one enough because being taught how to show up, being told that you have to finish what you start is also a way that you build your own individual self-esteem.
But I sometimes sit there and I look at my parents and I'm like, they did everything wrong, but they were also just humans.
Oh, of course.
They were just people.
Yeah.
My mom, when she was young, She was a single woman. She was a single mom. She was going through it by herself. She had no job. Mm-hmm. She had like, and I have to, like, I'll sit there and I'll humanize my mom and I'll realize she did the best she could. She didn't even do it to me on purpose. All the things that I felt and the chips and the cracks and all the brokenness, she herself was probably so chipped and broken.
Of course she was.
And
of
just
course.
Trying to pull through.
Of course. And that is the predicament in and of itself. You know what I mean? Is that our parents, unless they really are horrible. Unhealed, horrible people,
horrible.
They're doing the best they can. I know for me, the reason that my mom didn't force me to go back to soccer or piano or horseback riding or whatever, or go to school was because, I mean, she forced, whatever, was because she didn't want me to be in what she perceived to be as pain. Right. Or discomfort. So she was like, you don't have to do that. But she doesn't understand that there's another thing that happens from trying to prevent that.
And then,
exactly.
And then there's the other side of the coin.
Okay, Delroy, what
well,
is it?
Well, where some communities...
Tell us the other side.
Some communities don't care about what their kids have to say.
Yeah. Right.
They literally say,
the kids
do
don't
this.
Know nothing.
They don't know nothing.
Yeah.
You do this, you don't do this, you get your ass beat.
Right.
You get the switch, come down, and make it happen.
That's and they don't care about the trauma.
There is no such thing as trauma
they
when you live in
bothered.
A marginalized community. And you can't... And listen, you grow up in a community that already is looked down by masses of people.
Right.
Then you have to build strong people to push through that bond. And to do that, you get your ass beat. You get told to be quiet. Don't speak against the adult because you don't know
you
what you're listening.
They call you spoiled, too.
Spoiled.
Yeah. Chiflada. You're chiflada.
Period.
Chiflada.
And literally, chiflada. You got to go to horseback riding and say no. Then you have other people that go to school with no books. And literally have to go to that school. That's a different kind of drama.
And you think they care?
They don't care.
There is no empathy or consideration.
None.
In their mind, they're like, baby, you didn't have the book to go to school. You think I'm bothered by that?
I didn't even get to go to school.
But you know what?
Shalom.
But you also have to be aware of the cards that you're dealt, meaning it's not my fault that I was born into the household that I was born into. It's not, none of us asked for it, right? So the fact that I had option or privilege is what I had. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't take away.
Negate your experience. Yes, or it doesn't negate feelings.
What I'm saying is not negating. I'm saying the other side of the coin. Right. Everybody's trauma accumulates to be who they are later in life.
We're saying the same thing then, because that's exactly correct. And yes. I think that you can't compare people's traumas because then in one way or another, you're reducing someone's experience. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that everyone has trauma. Everyone has their own life experience.
The girls are traumatized and ill.
Exactly. Yes. We're all unwell.
Honey, the girls are... Make some noise for the girls that are ill at the house. We're press the number unwell. One in the comments.
Well done. Well done. Illness.
We're all just super unwell. And we all, at the end of the day, want to know that we're worthy, that we are loved, that we're seen. And I guess ultimately, as you become an adult, you have to do those things for yourself.
This is why I talk a lot about pain in my videos. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in the queer community, there is such a, I feel like there's a dance, a dysfunctional dance between the level of pain that we are in as queer people. And then we want to alleviate that pain by giving ourselves pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so then the queer community, let me tell you, the girls love to give themselves pleasure. And so then that's where the a lot of, you know, what we see in the queer community, the girls love to go cruising. Mm. The girls love to go
to
the
cruise.
They love to go to the dark room. They like to get on Grindr, on Sniffies, on Jacked, and Pool Trade.
Okay.
One through the other, through the door.
All day.
Because the girls just want pleasure to alleviate all the pain that we've been put through from not only our parents, society, our job, our neighbors. Honey, the trade who stole my phone and jumped out the window. Now I'm in pain.
Yeah.
And I need more trade now. But here's a question that I had for y'all. How do you as lesbians...
I'm a man.
How do you as a man and a woman?
Thank you very much.
And I'm crazy, I don't identify as anything.
What are the things that give you pleasure so that you alleviate your pain? Because I feel like with lesbians, the homosexuals, we already know they're ran through, they're pigs, they like to hook up, baby. They got one man after another, honey.
Very true.
Piece got to get big. Every piece got to get bigger.
Yeah.
You start off, and by the time you finish with trade number 9, the piece better be big.
Yeah.
And so how do lesbians, do y'all go cruising? Do y'all go to the dark room? Because I feel like y'all are more classy.
Yeah, lesbians collect art and animals.
And money.
And money.
Really?
And then they cuddle. And then they move in really quickly.
Okay.
But
intimacy, intimacy gives you pleasure. Because I feel like the gays don't do intimacy like that.
But honestly, really? I think that for lesbians, you can see that a lot of us being... knowing that the society is full of men who want to be higher leveled, we will get a check.
Okay.
We will work.
So you won't let these men get you.
You don't let them get you. You know what I mean? You don't let them get you.
I like that.
We move in together. We do need that intimacy. But at the same time,
you're making smart choices.
Graven, am I right?
Oh, yes, Delroy, and I'm so glad that you finally come out, because we've been waiting for this day for many, many years for Delroy to come out as a lesbian. It is amazing.
But the pleasure that a lesbian can feel, I believe, truly is success, is...
Security.
Security, making sure we don't need nobody else.
Comfort.
Yeah.
Comfort around
comfort,
you.
Totally. Comfort.
The home.
Yep.
The nesting.
I was going to say, it's the feminine energy, like magnified times 10, which is then like groundedness, home, strong, but a more quiet strength, you know, a quiet.
It doesn't need to be so like out there and so visual and everybody needs to know.
Yeah. And I also think, though, that no matter what your sexual orientation is, human beings are pleasure seeking. Like, we're literally wired to try and seek pleasure and avoid pain. So I think that's why we see so many people who struggle with addiction. That's why we
Let me tell you, the heterosexuals.
Yeah.
they get pleasure in the same ways.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a human experience to try and see.
But what gags me is, like, I'll talk about that. Like, recently they had, like, in Arizona, they had, like a festival, an event.
Okay.
And a conservative event. And then Grindr went down.
Because
all the conservatives were on Grindr hooking up, yeah, getting their life.
I heard about this.
And so I made a video. I said, little girls, look at the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Because they will sit here and they're going to tell you, this is how you don't need to be doing this with your life. Don't be doing this with your booty hole. Don't be doing all these things. They like to give you all these.
What are you talking about, booty holes,
fool? They like to give you all these rules about the booty hole. Delroy,
just gotta keep it clean.
There's so much beauty in the booty hole, let me tell you.
It is pretty.
If we could just unlock the beauty hole to its full potential, can you imagine what we would do as a human race?
I got a cream for it.
Well, let me tell you this. It's true. These conservative men, they're also they will tell you, don't wear a wig.
Yeah.
Don't put makeup on. Don't put no fishnets on. Don't put no panties on. Meanwhile, they're over there on Grindr. You look in their closet. They got the wig.
Yeah.
They got the fishnets. They got the pantyhose.
Yeah. They got the lipstick.
They got the 10-inch dildo in there, too.
Of course.
And they're getting their life just as much as the dolls.
Yeah.
But they will sit there but they won't. They don't want nobody to know their tea.
Something I recently heard was Charlie Sheen talk about his experience having sex with men. And I really just think that it was.
You know, Charlie was getting ran through.
Of course. But you know what?
Getting his life.
But you know what I think was cool? Was that.
Let me tell you, Charlie was getting his life, getting pleasure.
Yeah.
He was probably in pain, baby. But let me tell you, he got pleasure too.
That
compensate.
Part. That part. But the thing I appreciated about it was he de-escalated. He decharged it.
Right.
He literally, when he was asked about it, he was like, yes, I've had sex with women and I've had sex with men. And I think that that's what we need more of. The normalization of the fact that
people just keeping it real.
Yes. And that some people are going to want to have sex with both genders. Some people are not. Some people are going to just stay in their lane. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. As long as they're not hurting anyone, honey.
Exactly.
Let them get their life.
Exactly. And then I think what the Grindr Arizona situation shows is that high level of hypocrisy is because those people are repressed and they're hiding. And when we know this in our community, so much that when you are forced to feel like you have to hide yourself or that you can't express yourself,
it's gonna show up too,
and it will show up. Mm-hmm. And you end up becoming a very sad human because you can't live
full
in your expression
too,
and resentment,
their hate, they're angry. Oh my god, everything in my world is telling me I can't be this.
Exactly.
Bitch, in reality, you just want to be a power bottom.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Being a bottom is very... Yes, go ahead.
We heard that being a bottom is... Go ahead, Gravy.
Being a bottom is a very strong act of vulnerability.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
Can you speak on that?
It's very pleasurable.
Can you speak on that? Because I
can't. Oh my
God.
Gravy. Listen, I feel like I have this theory. I feel like we are born and society tells us men have to do this, women have to be this way, right? Women can, for the most part, society, they're like, you can play with your butthole. If you're a woman, it's
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
But for
they can play with your butthole.
Or they can play with your butthole.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't play butthole. With their butthole, but they can play with your butthole.
Yeah.
But for the man, don't do anything with your butthole.
Right.
But can you imagine if we were, let's say there's a utopia somewhere and everyone is born and then...
With butthole play.
And everyone can just...
Play with their butthole.
Play with their butthole and untap their butthole. Can you imagine...
The release.
The release that these men across the world would feel if they all just learned to tap in and use their butthole for pleasure. It would cure the world.
You think?
World peace. Yeah, these men would... They wouldn't be so bitter and so angry.
I enjoyed a little bit of buttholeness a little while ago.
Watch yourself now, Delroy. You are Delroy. I have a question for you, Luscious.
Wait, but I want that. Okay, so Delroy, did you do the butthole playing or was your booty hole played with?
Well, let's just say wherever Gravy can come out of, I'll suck it out.
Okay. He is sucking out the gravy.
Of any hole.
Of any orifice.
Of any orifice.
I love that.
Yeah. Let's normalize that. Let's normalize
gravy play. And let me tell you.
Gravy play. Gravy, play with me.
The gravy is going to... This is what we need. I think we need across America for everyone to just incorporate gravy into their routines. Yes.
Whataburger, white gravy.
Go to the Whataburger. It's a dollar. Go to the Whataburger. Get the white gravy.
That's affordable.
It's a dollar. It's so affordable. There's no excuse.
Play with it.
I know right now with the tariffs, it's rough.
It's rough.
But $1 for the gravy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, play
with
the gravy.
Have you ever played with food during sex?
You know what? I feel like the gluttony in me will not allow me.
Oh, the obesity.
The obesity demon. Like, if I start in, like, bringing her into the bedroom when I'm, with the other demon that's in there.
Right.
I feel like it opens the door for me to just go to worlds that I don't even know if I want to go.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go myself.
Yeah.
You know, pour it all over you.
I'm already very pig-like, very piggish. Mm-hmm. If I start including gravy into it, I might be doing too much.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole new Doja Cat album.
And you know what? It's also exhausting.
Yeah.
It's tiring. Listen, last night I had this trade over and I had to get myself ready. And
can you define trade for me?
Well, you know, it's a man and you're going to trade intimacy with or connection or pleasure with.
So what's a trade center?
The trade center is where you go so you can find some trade.
Okay.
You run around, you will find some trade at the trade center, honey. Let me tell you.
Got it.
But listen, so last night I had some trade. Mm-hmm. And then I have to prepare myself. I have to make sure there's no gravy.
No gravy.
Honey, in here. Because not everybody likes that gravy.
You right, baby.
Baby, not the brown gravy. The white gravy's fine.
The white gravy's fine.
But the brown gravy might be a little too much. Not everybody. Some of them they live for the brown gravy. Some of the girls live. So I start douching, cleaning myself out.
Yeah, necessary.
I look at my phone and I'm like, bitch, I've been douching for 45 minutes. This is exhausting.
What'd you eat?
Girl, I ate too much. Apparently, I ate everything, honey. I had a little bit of... I had Skittles. I had Corn Nuts.
And that took 45 minutes?
I had a steak at one point. I had mashed potatoes.
Okay.
There was a lot of things going on. So then I'm over there douching, and I still can't be clean.
Oh.
It's still not clear. There's still brown gravy everywhere.
Ugh.
And I'm like, bitch, it's 45 minutes. Is this even worth it at this point? I'm tired now. I want to go to bed.
You know what? Welcome. Because the shit shower shave life is, not
exhausting.
Welcome, but you get it. Yeah. And I remember thinking about, like, just even how you have to prepare yourself to, like, go be with a guy. And it's just so much work.
It's too much. I really hope one day I find a man who's like, I like everything disgusting about you. Like, if I don't do my makeup,
Is it just natural, or is it just you?
All the natural things.
Yeah.
I hope I find a man who's just like, you know what, don't even put any effort.
I love you as you are.
I love you as you are. Yeah. You look like a creature. I love it. I don't need you to produce yourself and be fake. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
And if I get a little gravy
it's
on my...
It's so hard it's to okay. find that kind of just person, though.
I know. Well, yeah.
There's,
it takes time.
So difficult.
You know, Napoleon was once said to have asked his lover not to wash up to a week or 2 weeks before she got home, before he got home from war.
Oh, there's men who love that.
He wanted to smell her 17 miles away.
I've had that kind of train. Who's and like, baby, don't shower.
Be stinky.
If you shower, I'm not coming over.
Whoa.
These men.
There is something beautiful about the hormone of the human body. Sometimes my gravy boat, sometimes she'd be like, oh, the armpits.
Fragrant.
I'm like, I like it.
You like the fragrancy.
And I can't stand it. If I smell myself, like if it's a particularly hot day and I get sweaty, I'm working out and I'm like, oh my God.
You feel like you can't.
Oh, but, if I smell my
but
own.
But Delroy likes it.
But Delroy likes it.
He likes the fragrance.
Good thing I don't go to bed with Delroy. My God, that would be terrifying.
First of all, lady, you don't know what you're missing.
Clearly.
I know how to do all the moves on my gravy boat.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
So all Delroy likes the fragrance.
And clearly, look, I have something that Delroy might like for himself. So
clean it out, baby. Clean it out. Okay. So I got a couple questions.
I do, too. No, I've been trying to ask.
Don't do it.
I want to know what a brick is, what a creature is.
Okay.
Define some of your terms.
Okay, so for me, a brick is like clearly when you look
cocaine.
Rough.
Oh,
no, when you look rough.
Okay.
When, you know, when you're like, oh my God, I did my makeup, my texture's showing, you can see all my craters, you can see all the imperfections.
Interesting.
Especially, well, that's how my reference was. I feel like I've evolved it now.
Okay.
To where a brick is when you are just... when you're real, when you look like imperfect.
So it can be a positive thing?
Oh, absolutely. Right. I see the, like, to me, it's like I see the brick. Mm. I see the brickiness, and I love that brick.
I do love exposed brick on houses.
I do too.
Absolutely beautiful.
I do too. I do too. But yeah, the and also, as I've been on this journey, I've come to the to what a brick is like when it comes to queer rights. Mm. Is, you know,
the thing that got thrown.
We threw the queens, the people, they threw a brick when it was time to say enough.
Stonewall.
We're tired of the hypocrisy. We're tired of you telling us who we can and cannot be, but behind closed doors, you're over there a disgusting, filthy pig. But you're going to sit here, you're going to tell me I can't just be myself. Yeah. I'm not hurting anybody. I like to put a wig on. I like to put some makeup on. Sure, I'm a man. I'm not hurting anyone by just being free. Can you let me be free? Mm. And it's, I feel like we are in those times where it might happen again. Yeah. We might need to go grab another brick, little girl, and we might have to throw this brick again. And for you to tell us that you're going to take away our rights, and for you to tell us that, well, we're going to take away marriage. Someone told us that it's not right, and it's illegal. We don't want you to be homosexual.
Well, it's not someone. It's the change of the Bible that happened at a certain time. There's a documentary right now.
Right.
It's true, Luscious. Where they changed one of the words to homosexual.
Right.
And it originally did not say that.
Right.
And so there has been a uproar since that happened, because if you really look at the history of society and humans all the way back to Roman times, right, and before, and to many, many cultures on islands around the world, two-souled beings ruled the spiritual realm.
Right.
And only is it in a society that shrinks the gender roles do you get such turmoil.
Yeah.
There we go. You just gotta let people be.
Yeah.
Let people be. If they're not hurting anyone, let them be free. Don't take away their rights. Don't come into their home and tell them what they can and cannot do and how we can process our pain, too. Mm-hmm. They criticize us a lot. They criticize the gay community so much for, oh, my God, all the gays are so promiscuous. They sleep with everyone. They don't care about condoms. They don't care about anything. It's like, well, bitch, do not sit here and judge us for how we process our trauma and how we give ourselves pleasure when you were the ones who put us through all this pain and you did all that, you told us all these things we could not do.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're out there having sex without a condom. They got a whole bunch of babies.
Baby, let me tell you, they're over there getting their life.
All day long.
With the booty hole, too.
Oh, the booty hole.
So don't come over here with this hypocrisy. The hypocrisy
kills me. I really have a thing.
I throw a brick on hypocrisy.
I do, too. I second that emotion. I throw that brick. I think that the thing that really surprises me, hold on, my thought just left my head.
Well, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
What Delroy.
You better get my name right.
What Delroy was saying too is people get so fixated with, okay, there's a Bible, right? There's a book and it gives us all these rules that we need to follow. It's like, bitch, that book was written by men. They didn't think about women. They didn't think about queer people. They didn't think about trans people. They didn't think about anybody else but a man. And so you're going to sit there and you're going to be like, it's because the Bible tells me so. Bitch, the Bible was written by a man that we don't even know if that man was real. But you know who is real? Me. I'm right here. I'm real. And so people get so up fixated with God. Bitch, can you see God? Mm. Where is God? Because let me tell you, I'm right here and I'm a real person. And I'm telling you to see me. And I'm telling you that these things, that all these things that you're telling me that you hate about me, bitch, I'm just here. I'm love.
Yeah.
I'm not here to hurt anybody.
People are crazy. People are so wild. We are watching this show. Well, me and my wife are watching this show. And
it's... You got a wife, Greg?
Yeah.
You're a lesbian.
It's mashed potatoes. We are watching a show about sister wives. And one of the men...
Oh, I love that show.
One of the men and his wife are seeking another wife. And he said that God came to him in his garage.
Lies. Looking for five wives.
Lies.
And said, you're meant to have five wives.
He just wants more cookie. On the side.
It isn't someone who's just after sex or more women. He actually truly believes that it is his purpose and that he has to do this to live out this mission. in order to make it through the pearly gates of heaven.
Right.
And I think that that's really, that's what we're up against.
It shows you the illness.
Yes, and that's what we're up against when we're talking about people not accepting us. We're not just up against people who just don't like it. It's people that firmly and fundamentally believe that if they do not take action against us, that they will suffer a consequence. Right. And that's where I think the problem just doesn't die.
Mind their business.
They could.
They could just stay in their property with all their acres and he can have all his cookies.
I love a Snickerdoodle.
You want to pour some gravy on it?
Do not sit here and tell me my cookie is not sickening.
Meanwhile, you over there want
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cookies, bitch.
Yeah.
Don't come over here because I'm the cookie monster.
But you know what?
Don't do this.
A crispy cookie, too. She's real crispy.
That's the obesity devil.
No, but you know
what's
crazy, too, is sometimes you will be at a table with your own family member and your family member's like, but God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, bitch, I'm right here. I'm your child. I'm real.
Yeah.
You can communicate with me, right? You can see me, but they will still say, but I believe in God.
The thing that gets me is the image of God.
I don't
God.
Believe in you. I believe in God.
Right.
That is crazy to me.
If every single person in terms of, again, we just get into layers and layers of hypocrisy, but if every person is made in the image of God, then you are God. And then that person should fundamentally understand that you are God.
I am having a human experience as a drag queen.
Yeah.
But it is God inside of me. The light force that is inside of me that makes me tick. It's God.
Do you know why you're always going to be
here as a drag queen?
You know why you'll always fabulous. Be controversial? Is because
they can't take it.
Yes, and because you're aligned with that. And that alignment is powerful and that alignment scares people. And what they are, and this is like the ominous they, want us to be disconnected from our true selves because then you're controllable. And if you are connected to yourself and you are in your power and you are understanding that you are love in body, that you are God in body, that you are that, the power is abundant. And that's scary.
George Carlin did a wonderful comedy or a speech about God and this ominous voice in the sky of clouds. Go check it out. It's one of my favorite comedians.
I need to
breaking
check it out.
It's really,
I know it's
really
going to be good and
really
funny good. And smart.
He's so
really
brilliant.
Smart. Yeah. I just want to say to all the queer kids out there, if you are right now going through a moment where you're feeling alone, you're feeling like none of this matters, everything going on in this country, I have no power, there's no hope, and you are out in the darkness. I want you to know that you have the fire of God in your veins. It is that light, that thing that is inside of you that wakes you up every morning, that keeps you alive, that keeps you moving. It's God.
Yeah. And you can
put. You are a child of God.
And you can put. Some people won't resonate with the word God. And I think that that's where you can say it's
the goddess.
The goddess. It's the higher being.
The universe.
It's the universe. Exactly.
It's inside of you. It's inside of all of us.
And you know what?
They try to take it away from us and make us feel like we are not godly.
Exactly.
We are. We're beautiful. We're perfect the way we are.
And we all have to hold each other's hands more often.
We do.
And I would like you to hold that
hand.
Can
I hold this little hand?
You can absolutely hold my little nub.
The little gravy nub, honey.
But before we go into that, I just want to say one thing.
Please.
We have been talking about people that we see from afar or from TV, and we are coming to these. We've lived experiences, so of course we're going to say, hey, this is hypocrisy and this is that. Mm-hmm. I also just want to say to those that are feeling that they need to put others down to feel better, that you have a right to that too.
Yeah, because God is in them too.
Because God is in you too. And I don't want to dismiss that because I think
it's
really important. It's in all of us. I think it's really important that we talk about not just the people that have condemned us or want to take our rights away, but also you feel the need to do that. And because we live in a quote-unquote free society, you have that right too.
Yeah.
What matters is that we all do it respectfully.
Yes.
That we all say, this is what I believe, this is what you believe.
And we coexist.
And we coexist.
No, and this is what you touched on important. Such an important point. Because yes, all those conservative bigots, they hate us. They can't stand anything that is not the norm. Live your life.
You matter too.
Live. You get to have your opinion. Stay on your property. And and live your life behind the gates of that ranch.
Yeah.
Just don't come out of the ranch and come tell me, well, I have to take away your rights because I don't live for you and what you're doing. Just everyone can exist. Just mind that's your business and live your life.
Everybody can exist.
We can all exist. Yeah. We can. I could be neighbors with a bigot and a fascist. Just stay over there and scream you're crazy, but don't come up in here in my house because I'm having trade.
Correct. And gravy.
Baby, yeah. And there might be gravy. It might be white. It might be brown. We don't know.
There's quite an array of gravy.
But don't come over here in my house. I can see it from far away, baby. Mm-hmm. I love you, sweetie. Love
it. Okay, it's my turn. I just wanted to know, Luscious, if you would hold that hand and tell us what topic we're talking about today on Tea Time. Just give it a squeeze.
Okay.
And there is something underneath it.
No. What is in here? So the topic, honey, for today's episode is the cursed experiences.
Ooh.
Cursed experiences. A little Halloween-y witchy for us. Okay. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes. Oh, my God. Y'all are not going to believe me because we go back to these. Like, there's a part of me that feels like religion. Oh, can't stand it. But then there's a part of me that's, like, so deeply rooted that, like, I believe all of it.
Because I was going to ask you, growing up
Yes, of course. I'm Mexican. Yeah. My grandma is, like, she goes to church every Friday, every weekend. Yeah. She's by the book. You know, in her mind, she thinks I'm a demon because, you know, I'm a drag queen. But let me tell you, when my parents were getting a divorce when I was 13, it was really dark and really traumatic because my parents... There was violence. It was, like, just dark stuff. And the night that, like, just everything exploded and my parents had to be separated, I remember my tia came, picked us up, and took us to her home. She lived, like, in a little trailer. And as we were going to bed, I remember seeing in the window, she had, like, the, like a little window in the back, her back door, I saw a red glowing hand. And to me, as a kid, I didn't really know what that means. But deep down, I remember feeling the devil is here.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's a sinister energy that was around us. And that is what this whole day, the devil has been following us around. Mm. And it made me feel like, oh, my God, there is darkness and there is evil in the world that sometimes we don't understand. Mm. And so I remember seeing that red glowing hand on the outside of the window.
Wow.
It was so scary.
And that's so interesting that you took from that there is darkness and evil in this world that we don't understand.
Even because, though I was 13.
Yeah.
I remember knowing that deep down, I was like, the devil was here. Mm. And that's like whatever was going on between my parents that was so volatile and physical and... The devil had a hand in seducing and infecting that with his evilness. That's what I took from it.
I think, though, that is very true, that we see acts of horror every day, right? And that's just, for me, the first thing I think of is, like, people who abuse animals. People, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. And that is that hand. It's like you were being told at that age that there are bad things that happen in this world that have no rhyme or reason or sense to them. And quite frankly, we probably don't want to understand them because you don't want to be in the position of that person's perspective because that's darkness. But it also maybe was a way for you to process and make sense of what you were witnessing in your family at that time.
Well, it goes back to like me, the way I speak about these demons that are constantly there and you have to be aware so that they don't get you. I feel like there is good in the world. Yeah. And there's also evil.
Yes.
And they both will seduce you.
But you have to have both to have one or the other. Because we learn through contrast,
but within reason. But you can't let true evil seduce you. Because it will seduce you. And it will take you to a place where you will access evilness. And you will do evil things because you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
And you let it guide you.
You have to have contrast because you don't know pleasure if you don't know pain. You know?
I sit in a different area.
You don't believe the contrast thing?
Tell me.
We're talking about cursed experiences. Okay. But I just want to touch on the fact of evil and good.
Yes.
I think evil and good can be synonymous with the words negative and positive.
Yes. Okay, Amber Heard.
Okay.
With the battery.
Yes.
You have a negative charge and you have a positive charge.
Yes.
And you cannot live life at all with a consciousness if there is no positive or negative. Mm. Because then you won't know what is positive or negative.
That's right. Literally...
That's literally what you said.
Yes. No, I just said that.
Hear me out, though. You said good or evil.
Right.
When you say good or evil, you bring in devil or God. Okay. When you say positive or negative, you give in energies that are the Big Bang Theory or science.
Yes. Right.
And that's all I'm saying that's different. Because when you say good or evil, my understanding of the hand, because I've had spiritual moments all day long.
I love that this is Delroy.
But when you
in character still with the voice, yeah. Well, she's having this very, she really wants to get this
I'm
point
trying
across.
To get another Emmy, Luscious. Listen now. So when you take away good and evil, devil or
this
God,
is true.
Yeah.
You then can look at life a little bit easier because you're not worried about the Bible or the devil's Bible.
Or the rules,
or
that,
the
go
rules that go around it. You're looking at with
the
decay of a tree comes the growth of a tree.
Right.
Decay of a tree, if looking at from a lens of a spiritual, that's evil. But if you take away the lens, that's just life.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I'm saying, Gravy. You have to look at it as a positive or a negative.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I agree. And taking the biblical sense or the devil
removing
and God, removing that part, that does then remove some of the pressure.
It makes it easier to understand, too, because, yes, it's what I was saying is you will be seduced and infected by negativity.
Yes.
And you have to be careful not to just be, like, not paying attention because it will take you to a very negative place.
And
you will do very negative things, too, though.
And negative polarization, magnets attract. You know what I mean?
Oh,
they attract. So
you'll
the more
bring
you
other
have,
negative...
You bring more negative
bricks,
to you.
Negative bricks around you.
And I think that's something that when you talk about cursed experiences, when you believe in something, your brain creates that world for you.
Right.
So the more you believe that you have anxiousness, and the more that you believe that you are a narcissist, the more you are, the more
you... Do you ever catch yourself being very negative? And you're like, oh, I need to do something to change this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, it's going to just get worse. I'm going to attract it.
Right? Let me tell you when I feel that. When I call a certain person in my family, they are very negative.
Mm.
As soon as I get off that phone, I then tend to see more negativity.
Mm.
And I tend to point it out. I have to go, wait a minute, I'm a Sagittarius.
Mm.
And therefore, I stop being negative.
Right.
And everything...
Right. They get, but,
and then
but,
everything is positive.
But
again,
that awareness, it's such a wisdom because the majority of people, they
don't
are not paying attention to any of that. They're just running around in negative and
because,
negative and negative.
Because what negative. Negativity brings is sympathy from others. And then they suck it in. Those are those energy vampires that come.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Oh, my day is bad. Oh, woe is me.
I know a lot of those girls.
And then
ooh,
other people come.
Bricks.
And
I
they,
know a lot.
And they kind of, you know, zhuzh you up.
Because life happens through you, not to you. And when I say that, I mean that our perception...
Did you see that on a poster somewhere?
Yeah, I did. On a TikTok poster, okay? And it's really true,
it was,
though.
I could see that on a t-shirt.
Right? Or like in a doctor's office.
Right.
Life happens... Or in a therapist's
office. It goes through you.
But it is.
Just like the trade runs straight through you.
Just like the gravy. Just like the gravy. But it's so true because our perceptions are everything. And we can change our perceptions. And another thing that I heard on a poster was... Read, heard, saw, watched on TikTok. Was that we all have an innate wisdom in us. And it has now been proven that we can all tap into our innate wisdoms. We just don't know how to get there. We've forgotten how, but we have that. So when you're talking about Delroy being so wise about these things, every single human being has it in the same way that we're all connected in this human experience, or that we have source running through us, or that we're, our bodies and our hearts are pumping right now and we're not thinking about it, and our autonomic nervous systems are just working. All of that is...
Well, it takes intelligence, too.
Yes.
You go through life, and a lot of things happen to you. And if you're intelligent, you're paying attention, and you're learning. You're a student, and you're learning, okay, how do I take from all of this so that I become a better person? I'm more knowledgeable. You gain wisdom. But clearly, with America, we're seeing right now that a lot of these bitches, they are not intelligent. They're not paying attention.
Yeah.
A lot of these whores, they're just living their life. They're not taking care of themselves. They're bitter and they're angry.
Wake up.
And they've been consumed by negativity and stupidity. Because these bitches, they don't even open up a book. And they're in their bubble. Mm-hmm. And they won't tell themselves the truth either.
Let's break those people down, though. Because hey, I know some of those people.
Baby, break these whores down.
Oh, I was going to break the whores down, but I was going to break the intelligence part.
Okay.
Sometimes it's easier to not.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sometimes it's easier to just go with
to stay asleep.
To stay asleep, because let's not forget a smart movie by the name of The Matrix.
Okay.
There was a man who got unplugged from The Matrix. Mm. He lived the unplugged life.
Oh.
He then chose to go back in The Matrix.
Plug it up.
Because it was too much to bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that way sometimes.
And you can call
I've
it.
I've learned too much.
Yeah. You can call
sometimes
it.
Sometimes I'm like, bitch, I just want to disconnect.
Yes. You call it intelligence. What I call it is self-preservation. Mm. Some people just want to just. They just. Some people look for more and want more. Mm. And I think that, and I just want to be honest, to call those people that do not want to look for more unintelligent is unfair. What I'm going to say to you for me is Delroy, not as Raven.
Right.
As Delroy.
This is Delroy speaking. Don't come for Delroy.
I will say that their overwhelmness for the truth and to connect to your innate being is work. Mm-hmm. It requires a different mindset to deal with things. It requires you to get outside of your normal routine and do something different. Routine is comfortable.
Oh, yes.
That's not ignorance. That's just comfortability.
But let me say this, too. Them coming to terms with the truth would mean they would have to tell themselves the truth that they've been lied to.
And that's difficult.
A lot of their world has been based on lies.
All day. Everybody's world
Most
is
of
based
our world
on a lie.
Is. And that's the thing, is that once you actually start seeing the patterns of the world, you understand that we're all living in this system.
So they just lie to themselves.
Well, it's actually past lying to yourself. It's even greater than that, because we've all kind of signed this invisible contract in how we've decided how to live our life. Mm-hmm. And once you take the veil off and you start to see things, it's really, really hard to then live in the world that we are living in.
We just had this conversation the other day.
We did.
We really did. And it's, she found some, a couple of the masks opened that she didn't even know she had. And that's another thing. When you're born into a family dynamic who, especially as years go on, the trauma of life and society, you have to just survive. Not everybody has the privilege to live on top of a Tibetan mountain and pray every day.
Right.
You gotta pay taxes.
Yeah.
You gotta
yeah.
survive. You gotta keep.
You gotta push.
You gotta push. So when you gotta push every day, sometimes spirituality is easier if you're just taught it, not if you search for
it. If you're just distracted and not telling too much truth.
Exactly.
And you know, it's interesting with everything going on in this country right now, where woke. These girls are too woke. They're awake. They're aware. We are anti-woke. We can't be woke. So they just want to go back to sleep.
They want to go back to sleep.
And they just want to go back to telling themselves lies.
Yes.
So that they can, everything can be good, because being awake, it's too much.
Yeah. It's too much.
It
luscious.
Is too much. It
it's
is.
It's too much for these girls.
It's.
Well, I'm here to tell you, little girl, we are not going back to sleep. Mm-mm. Some girls, we woke up and we're awake and we like it.
Yes.
And we can handle it.
Yes.
Not everybody can handle it, I understand.
Yes.
But baby, we're not going to go back to sleep just because you want to be over there with your head in your ass.
Right.
In the booty hole.
You go stick your head in the booty hole.
In the gravy chute.
Live your life with your head in someone's asshole. But I'm over here, I'm awake, baby.
Great.
I'm over here living my life, and I'm not going back to sleep.
I don't want you to go back to sleep.
No, honey. None of us should go back to sleep until we're ready to go to bed tonight. Right. Question.
That was crazy.
Girl.
Have either of you ever met a person that you could label as cursed, but really what you are picking up on is they're just chaotic. They're just like a mess of a person.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Tell us about
them. Oh my God. I know I've had encounters in my life with people that at the time I was really, really close to, but I myself was maybe not completely present. I was distracted with life, with my own things that I was going through, distracted by negativity. Mm-hmm. And so then I allowed these people near me. And in my mind, I was like, I love them. They're my friends. I trust them. They love me. We love each other. Later, I realized, bitch, they hated you. They were jealous of you. Oh, they could not take you. The only reason why they wanted to be near you is, what can I take? What can I learn? What can I grab from her? What can I steal from her? What can I want what she's doing? I want to be around her light so I can take.
Yeah.
But in reality, if I asked them for advice and I knew it, I need to go right, they're going to tell me, go left, bitch. They are just these scum-sucking trolls.
Energy vampires.
From hell. These creatures from hell.
Yeah.
And they will never steer you right, but they still want to be right there with you because they want to leech and suck everything out of you. Energy. And I've been around those creatures. And they're scary.
Mm-hmm. You gotta get rid of them. Because
you won't see it until you see it. One day you're like, oh my God, I see it. This person hates me.
Mm-hmm.
They do not love me. They are not a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. They just want to be around me, bitch. And I hadn't clocked it. Yeah. I thought they were good people. I thought they were a friend. And I thought they loved me. And I thought they would take care of me. Bitch, she was just jealous. Mm-hmm. And she was bitter. And she just wanted to be around me to take from me.
What was her name?
Oh, girl, there's been many names.
That's fair.
I've had a couple of these girls.
That's fair.
I'm telling you, creatures from hell.
Creatures.
And sometimes I'll even... I remember when I was in this relationship, I remember empathizing with them. Mm-hmm. Making excuses for them and thinking, well, you know, they have all these bad habits.
Yeah.
They have all these negative things that they do, these bad characteristics and behaviors. But I would blame it to, well, they had trauma. They've had a hard life. They're, you know, they have no friends, so I need to be around them. I can't abandon them.
That's the good in
you. And then they would take advantage of it.
That's the good in you.
They're like, well, she's not going to leave me because she knows that if she leaves me, this is what it's going to mean. So then they'll sit there and they'll take advantage of it and push more buttons and take more advantage and cause more harm.
But the silver lining of a situation like that, and for anyone who finds themselves in experiences like that, is you learn what to look for in a person.
You learn how to identify a snake.
Exactly. And once you know how to avoid them, and then you have your own boundary. And I feel like what Delroy was saying, that good people tend to give those people, and not that those are bad people, those are people who just are
on the negative side of the spectrum.
Yeah, they're just on a unhealed, they're unhealed.
And those are just not well.
Yeah, exactly. They're
unwell.
And
they're stuck in that negative vortex.
Exactly. And
just the negative bitter bitch.
And they will attract like magnets to the good people, and the good people try and receive them and help them and, you know, whatever, and then you realize as a good person that you end up getting taken advantage of, but it does in the end hopefully give you the awareness to know how to avoid.
But if you're not paying attention, they'll take you to the negative side.
Yeah.
They'll take you to the dark side.
And that's hopefully you have the awareness before. Delroy, any cursed people in your world?
You know, recently I did come into contact with a human that,
A whole human. He's used to cows and gravy boats, you know?
And this is how I knew that they were cursed.
Oh, I like this.
So when they came around, so sweet, so nice, but...
They couldn't fool you.
They always needed validation for themselves of how amazing they were.
Oh.
Oh my goodness, insecure. You're so smart.
Exactly.
So smart, and if you didn't give them that... Well, you're not really my friend.
Would you get a side text or an email saying that you're not a good person? Maybe like that?
Oh, I
yes.
Let me tell you, me and those kind of people, allergic.
Let me tell you something.
I would not be able to stop.
Anaphylactic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, anaphylaxis.
Yeah.
So, that person, literally... Oh, so sweet, but loves to take up a room. When we had a whole entire conversation, it was just what they wanted to say.
They would suck the whole
time. Like a dinner party of seven.
Oh.
And literally, I just sat there and watched. And I said, interesting. You see, everybody's not saying nothing for the last 35 minutes, and you still talking. Okay, I'm going to serve you my food, and we're going to keep talking.
Right.
They manipulated the night to fit them. So, as soon as we moved on to the next level of our friendship, okay, the smartness, the genius that is them shined. Mm. And everybody kissed their ass. Mm.
Yep, their booty hole.
And the booty hole was clean from all the liquor.
Okay.
And then,
was it inflamed too?
Oh, honey, it was raw. It had some
multiple hemorrhoids.
Okay. Hemorrhoids and eczema just licked raw.
Not the eczema, goddamn. Mm-hmm.
And then the evil showed, the negativity showed, when the ass licking stopped and things got
the
real
demon
of
would come out.
Not just you are the only person here. Mm. And when we took away that power and said, no, we are here too.
Mm.
Gagged. The devil came out!
Gagged.
The devil came out!
Was this person an entertainer?
No.
No, this person is just a creative.
Oh, okay.
And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I saw something in that. I saw something in that from the beginning.
Mm.
And I am not an ass kisser.
Mm. Did you ever communicate that? Your findings?
Human?
Yes.
No, this is a person where I have learned from many... many experiences with people like this. I stay in the back.
Mm.
I be quiet. I say, don't kiss ass. And everybody's around me. Oh, but they are so great. I said, so am I.
You're like, baby, I'm not living.
So am I. I'm so great. Why don't you kiss my ass too?
Baby, thank you.
But they don't. Because I don't require others to lick
right.
my ass.
You
I lick my own.
You don't constantly need it. You don't
my
need that validation.
Very
you don't have that
limbo.
Insecurity.
Very flexible.
Very flexible spine. I lick
right.
my own ass.
Right.
Okay. And as soon as the ass licking stopped, you saw their true colors.
And then we got lawyers. And then we moved on. So has anyone ever had a curse night out?
But let me tell you this. Before we move on, I would be the girl who would sit there and communicate my findings. Mm. I'll sit there and be like, let me tell you something, little girl.
Woo.
Sweetie, you are very insecure.
Very.
Let me tell you, we've been here for 35 minutes and you've been talking about yourself. You've just been sucking the air out of the room. And I need you to know that you need to work on that.
Mm.
I would sit there and be direct and communicate. But I'm also the girl who's like, if I can get revenge, I will get it.
But do you feel like you do that because, and I'm going to be 100, you're tall, you have a presence.
Mm.
That was not spit, that was from my beard. You are tall, you have a presence. No one can chop you down.
No, I think I could get chopped down. I think I'm just delusional. And my delusion has taken me to this place of radical acceptance in who I am and radical confidence. I can walk into any room.
Love that.
And I am not bothered. I will not feel small or insecure. Because I've been in some rooms where everybody, they're wealthy. They got all this money and they're like, they're thinking they're the diva, the doll. And I walk in there with my little dress. I'm wearing a little dress from Ross. And I'm like, that don't mean nothing, sweetie. Just because you're over there wearing a $10,000 gown, you think I'm living? You right. think I'm impressed? I don't give a fuck. Let's kiki. But that radical, like, it's a
confidence.
Out of survival.
Yeah.
I had to build myself up into this delusional creature out of survival. Because if I had just been... the little nice little girl who waited her turn, bitch, I would be dust. I would still be in Brownsville, Texas.
Yeah.
No one would be bothered because they're not going to give you your turn.
Mm-hmm.
I say this when I go on. I just got back from tour and I was performing and on stage. And I always tell these kids, you're going to have to take it. They're not going to give it to you. You don't need permission to live your life. You're going to have to take what you feel is yours within reason, right? You don't want to commit a crime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't want to hurt anybody, you know, but that's how you have to live your life. You have to believe in yourself like a crazy person and go out there and do what you got to do. Don't ask for permission.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather, baby, I might as well, I'll ask for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to ask you for permission
to
take what I feel like I need to get.
Period.
And did you read that off a sign?
I think I read that off a sign, too.
I like it.
Or let's put that on a t-shirt, bitch.
Let's do it. Start a whole lot of merch with just our TikTok quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're very correct. People do have to have the confidence in themselves to just be able to show up in any environment and know that they got themselves.
Yeah.
It's a hard lesson to learn, though, because the world will beat you up.
The world will get you to get... Look, I'll use this as an example. I have a friend of mine, one of my dearest friends. I love her with all my heart. And she's undocumented.
Mm.
But you know what? She travels all the United States. She finds a way. She moves around. She goes here. She goes there. She's on the East Coast. She's on the West Coast. And with everything going on in the world, the other day I paused and I said, oh my God. I told her, I said, I just want you to know that I admire you so much because you don't ask for permission. You're not going to let the U.S. government, you're not going to let these people make you feel fear and anxiety and make you feel like you can't just live your life and do what you got to do. Bitch, you got to work. You're going to move. You figure it out. You don't ask for permission. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in this country who are undocumented, they live with that fire of like, I'm not going to be afraid. You're going to tell me I can't go down the street. You're going to tell me I can't go work. You're going to tell me I can't just be a human who exists on the planet and just move around the planet. I'm not going to listen to you. I don't need your permission. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live my life. And I was just like, that's so beautiful. Can you imagine having that confidence and having that bravery to be
absolutely
like,
absolutely not. I'd be not scared out my ass. I would be scared to death. Listen, if I was undocumented in this country right now, I am getting out.
But a lot of people, they feel it, the fear,
I'm scared.
They still push on.
I am scared. And I love that and that confidence because I don't have it in myself. And to be able to be around that kind of confidence is addictive.
Infectious.
Oh, it's infectious. Beautiful. Because I'm scared shitless.
It's so beautiful. Those are the things that
I'm
like,
black and I'm scared.
It fuels me. That level of delusion and confidence and bravery to say in the face of all these bigots and these racists, I am not bothered by you. I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to live my life.
Yes.
And I don't need your permission, bitch.
I think the greatest cursed experience is living an unauthentic life. And on that note, let's toast.
To the authentic, brave girls out there.
Today, on the podcast.
On the podcast.
We're toasting to Halloween.
Halloween!
Nearly one quarter of Americans say Halloween is their favorite holiday.
Jeez, the
other
quarter.
This gravy boat loves it. Have fun celebrating, you guys. Get spooky and stay safe.
Let me tell you something about Halloween. Halloween has been so much fun for me. I've had so many different costumes.
Oh.
And the costumes have ranged from so many things. From real monsters, the cartoon, to, I was a shadow at one time. I was very depressed being, and I just wanted to be everybody's shadow. So anyway. And then, my wife, not my gravy boat, but my wife, she loves Halloween. And it's not just the costumes, it's the season in
it's
which
fall.
It lives.
It's the spooky season. Okay. It's the cozy, it's the cup of tea and the warm book and the crackling fireplace and the smell of burnt pumpkin.
What's your favorite Halloween movie?
Oh, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas,
and
really?
Hocus Pocus, yeah.
Hocus Pocus.
Oh, my birthday is October 1st.
Oh.
And so you know how like ABC Family, every year, yeah, right on October 1st, they start playing Hocus Pocus?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's like this ritual.
It?
No, I love it. Every year on my birthday, I watch Hocus Pocus.
Oh,
I love
every
that.
Year since I can remember.
You gonna watch the second one? Correct. Anyway.
It was not as good as the first one, I will say.
I'm sorry, ladies. Correct. We're old school. Thank you so much for coming on. Go ahead. What were you about to say, love?
I was going to ask you, what's your favorite Halloween movie?
Hocus Pocus.
Okay, Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
I do love Hocus Pocus. It's
really,
so good.
I love Hocus Pocus. I do love Nightmare Before Christmas. And I love Halloween Town.
I love Halloween Town, too.
Ooh.
Calabar's Revenge.
I love
both. Oh, I love them both. Yeah, but it's just so good.
You know what I think? I think there needs to be more Halloween songs played.
Yes.
Why does Christmas, the only holiday that gets songs?
Yeah. Dun, because they make it like this. You know what it is? It's commercial. They make it, the last 3 months of the year, everyone is kind of like in Halloween mood, so the songs have a longer life.
Mm-hmm.
But for Halloween, it's just one day. It's just October. It's a longer life, so they don't invest in it as much.
It's a shame.
It's a shame. It's a
missed
shame.
Opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for being here. It was lovely having, by the way, we had some very real, very deep conversations.
Yeah.
We made them very stupid.
We did.
But they were so good. They were so insightful.
Did you ever think that you were going to have a full podcast conversation with a gravy boat and Delroy?
No, I did not. It's such a wise conversation.
You're a lucky
lady. We touched so many things. I hope you girls out there were listening and paying attention, taking notes, honey.
All the notes.
The booty home.
That's
gravy.
Where it's at.
The gravy shoe.
We literally learned that the booty hole is the key to world peace.
It's the key to world peace. It's the key to just pleasure. It's the key to dealing with trauma. Just focus on the booty hole.
Release it.
Just play with it. you know?
Yeah.
And if you need a teacher, there's so many people out there who they'll teach you
Delroy
how to
you.
Play with it.
Yeah, Delroy.
Okay, we're gonna we're gonna move on from the Buddha hole.
Thank you so much for
thank
watching.
Thank you so much, Luscious.
I love you, girls.
Where can everybody find you, Luscious?
Oh, my God. At Luscious Massacre on everything on YouTube, my show, Dragvestigations. You can find me on TikTok, on Instagram, all over the place. Mm-hmm. At Luscious Massacre. We're out there doing beautiful. It.
I love you so much. And yes, we did have some really, really serious conversations, very controversial to some. Oh. Please, we understand. There are lots of people watching, and there are so many opinions, like there are so many Buddha holes. So please, like, share, subscribe.
But remember, it was Delroy speaking. It wasn't Raven.
Right.
It was Delroy.
Well, I don't even know who
Raven is. And I'm a gravy boat. So,
Delroy don't even acknowledge Raven. Not bothered by Raven.
Raven Baxter is absolutely insane. I don't know what is wrong with
that little girl. Not impressed by Raven.
Please do not forget to subscribe and leave a comment down of who you want to watch on Tea Time with Raven and Miranda. I'm just here as a co-host. Raven is not available. And thank you so much for watching. Luscious, thank you so much. Gravy boat, do you have anything to say? That's what I thought. Thank you, Raven Boats. And we will see you next Thursday. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Stay Halloween, safe. Little girls.
Happy Halloween.
Raven, thank you for bringing gravy back into our lives.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.